Good evening, Zimbabwe. You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Friday, August 14th, 2015. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Jonga Kandemiri.
And I'm Sithandekile Mhlanga.
Here are our top stories this evening.
The Harare Magistrates Court are vandalized by criminals while some grenades were found outside a local bank in the Central Business District today.
Zimbabweans express mixed feelings on President Robert Mugabe's legacy as SADC chair as his term comes to an end.
And the Zimbabwe rugby team, the Sables, have left for Namibia this afternoon ahead of their 2015 Confederation of African Rugby Africa Cup final.
This and much more coming up. Stay tuned.
The Harare Magistrates Court were reportedly vandalized by unknown criminals while some grenades were found outside a local bank in the Central Business District. Thomas Chiripasi has more details from the capital.
Business at the Harare Magistrates Court came to a standstill for the better part of the day today after authorities found a section of the court's building vandalized. Following the break-in, Chief Magistrate Mishrod Gubamombe told Studio 7 that some of the court's property was stolen.
It's true that there was a break-in at Harare Magistrates Court. Yes, it is true. At one of the offices in the regional magistrate's reception, it happened last night. I think entry was gained by removing some louver window glass panes, which were later recovered in the 5th floor of the building. A desktop or a computer was stolen and a printer. They are worth around 1,500.
Gubamombe said the matter has been reported to the police.
I think that's all we know for now. No, investigations are underway.
Although Gubamombe could not give any further details, some court officials who declined to speak on tape told Studio 7 that some court cases that were on the roll could be difficult for the court to handle because some of the information required to deal with those cases was stolen. When the courts were eventually opened to the public, local magistrate Tendai Mawe ordered the bail release of seven MDCT activists charged with engaging in public violence. Magistrate Mawe ordered Samson Erwand and others to deposit $50 each with the clerk of court, to surrender their passports and to report to the police every Friday until their case is finalized. Meanwhile, two grenades were found outside the FBC bank at the corner of Nelson Mandela Avenue and Leopold Takawira Street. Some bank officials said the bomb disposal unit of the police and the army was called in to remove the grenades before the day's business resumed. Police spokesperson Senior Assistant Commissioner Cherit Charamba said police were still investigating both cases. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Thomas Chiripasi.
President Robert Mugabe and South African President Jacob Zuma are next week expected to relinquish their influential positions at the helm of the 15-member Southern African Development Community, SADC. SADC leaders will meet in Gaborone, Botswana, for their 35th Ordinary Summit from 17 to 18 August 2015 under the theme Accelerating Industrialization of SADC Economies Through Transformation of Natural Endowment and Improved Human Capital. Botswana President Ian Khama is set to become the next SADC chair when Mr. Mugabe vacates the chair.
And Lesotho Prime Minister Phakalita Mosisele is expected to take over from Mr. Zuma as chair of the SADC organ on politics, defense and security. But Lesotho's opposition parties have appealed to SADC to deny Mosisele the chair of the SADC organ on politics, defense and security cooperation, citing the country's human rights record. But what is President Mugabe's legacy after a year leading the regional bloc? Political analyst Joe Mabenge, regional coordinator of the Crisis in Zimbabwe Coalition, says Mr. Mugabe has failed to deliver.
I do hope that once he relinquishes this position to the incoming chairperson, President of Botswana, probably he would have a little more time to focus on this country, which is burning. And if he doesn't focus squarely on his country, he's soon going to retain on the SADC agenda as an agenda item, and that would not accept him any good, especially given the fact that he was rewarded with the chairpersonship because SADC was saying that they had succeeded in terms of dealing with the crisis in Zimbabwe, which we have argued is they left us worse off because there were no mechanisms to ensure that we continue in a manner that had been started by the negotiation and the GPA process in terms of political reforms and attendant reforms that were there for Zimbabwe.
Of course, Mr. Khama, the leader of Botswana, is taking over from Mr. Mugabe. Many say he is straight-talking. Do you think he is going to bring any changes or fresh air?
Changes, I'm not so sure, but fresh air definitely, because what had begun to happen in terms of Zimbabwe and civil society and other political players that don't necessarily subscribe to the leadership of President Mugabe was that we were choked, we were crippled, we could not run anywhere because SADC is supposed to be at the next level. When you want to seek recourse, when you can't get recourse at the national level, you must be able to get it at the regional level. So Mr. Khama has 23 cases that he must deal with. The first one is the deteriorating situation in Zimbabwe. The second one is the deteriorating human rights situation in Swaziland. The third one is the deteriorating political situation in Lesotho.
Political analyst Joey Mabenga, regional coordinator of the Crisis in Zimbabwe Coalition, speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Gaborone.
But Professor Charity Manyoruke of the University of Zimbabwe's Political Science Department and ZANU-PF Mashonaland East Women's League Administration Secretary says Mr. Mugabe successfully executed his duties as SADC chair and there's need to consolidate regional integration.
There's a strengthening of regional integration in terms of the Mutual Defense Pact, and we also see a lot of preparations on the SADC stand by force, which is good in terms of training, the forces coming together and always getting prepared to defend the region.
What is your take on Mr. Khama, who is to replace Mr. Mugabe next week?
We are also looking at President Khama's leadership in terms of dealing with SADC, and we're hoping that he has learned a lesson from the chairmanship of President Mugabe, and that he will continue what President Mugabe has started. We're looking forward to to deeper regional integration.
Professor Charity Manyoruke of the University of Zimbabwe's Political Science Department and ZANU-PF Mashonaland East Women's League Administration Secretary speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare.
Meanwhile, many Zimbabweans have expressed mixed feelings about President Mugabe's achievement as SADC chair, with some saying he achieved nothing and others saying he used the opportunity to clean up the country's battered image abroad and in the process reclaiming his status as a true African statesman. Ivan Chifera reports.
Leader of the country's main opposition movement for Democratic Change Party and former Prime Minister Morgan Tsvangirai does not think Mr. Mugabe achieved anything during his term as SADC chair. Tsvangirai, Mugabe's bitter rival since 1999, says the 91-year-old president had not achieved anything significant as Zimbabwe itself was facing a crisis.
President Mugabe's legacy as chairman of AU and chairman of SADC has not achieved any significant imprint in SADC or in the AU because of the crisis of Zimbabwe. The crisis of Zimbabwe, as I said, is a crisis of legitimacy, a crisis of governance. You can't be a leader of these organizations when the first accusation is that you have to put your house in order first.
Tsvangirai predicts that Zimbabwe will be brought back on the regional bloc's agenda once Mr. Mugabe relinquishes the chairmanship next week.
What it means is that SADC must be able to say, look, we have a situation in Zimbabwe in which the regime is unstable. It's imploding. You have a situation where the economy is imploding. We have a situation where the government and the potential of Zimbabwe is being wasted because it is isolated internationally. So you have three issues that are of concern to SADC that they need to address. So it's unavoidable to bring back, even after the relinquishing of his chairmanship, to bring back the Zimbabwean crisis in the SADC debate because it affects everyone.
Terence Chimavi, director for the Organization for Zimbabwe Trust, tells Studio 7 Mr. Mugabe's chairmanship of SADC and the African Union had been blighted by Zimbabwe's own economic and social problems, leading to Mr. Mugabe's failure to deal with regional and continental problems.
We really didn't see SADC doing much. Maybe they did behind the scenes, but as a body, they didn't speak much to those issues.
Besides Zimbabwe and Mr. Mugabe's shortcomings, the chairmanship of SADC or the AU are largely ceremonial, hence not much is expected from whichever president will be chairing the two organizations. Political commentator Takura Jangaja concurs, saying even Botswana President Ian Khama, who is taking over from Mr. Mugabe, is likely not to have any impact. Jangaja, however, to some extent, disagrees with Changirai and Chimavi, saying Mr. Mugabe's chairing of SADC had in fact somehow normalized Zimbabwe as a country after years of crisis.
So the main benefit is that we became a normal country. And therefore in the region we became to somewhat be respected as a normal country with a normal leadership. That's the only benefit. But materially, there is no other benefit that we got from chairing SADC. You don't do anything spectacular as SADC chairman, because SADC is run by consensus.
He, however, adds, because Zimbabwe itself was coming out of a crisis, Mr. Mugabe was unable to play any effective role in the Lesotho and Madagascar crises.
Beyond that, we're never going to exert any influence in the region because, A, we are no longer a regional superpower or a power. We're no longer called the shots because we were a crisis country. So they got to mediate in our situation.
But University of Zimbabwe lecturer Professor Charity Manyurge differs, as she believes President Robert Mugabe had played a crucial role in resolving both crises and cooling down temperatures during the xenophobic attacks on foreigners in South Africa.
President Mugabe helped calm down because many said, you know, he'd been angered, but it was about conflict management, far excellence, which was done by the chairman. You know, as a people, we want to be able to move without any visas, without any occult.
Jangaja says it's unlikely the barriers will be removed, saying some countries in the region, like Zimbabwe, are pursuing policies that are not in line with regional best practices. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Ivan Chifera.
The Secretary General of the Convention on International Trade in Endangered Species, or CITES, says communities are likely to benefit from hunting safaris if all countries adopt stringent animal conservation methods that benefit local people. John Scanlon says the conservation of animals like elephants, rhinoceros, lions, like Zimbabwe's famous Cecil, killed recently by an American professional hunter, Walter Palmer, and several others, can only be saved through adding value to wild animals. Scanlon tells Studio 7's Gibbs Dube this can be enhanced if governments classify poaching as a crime equivalent to drug trafficking and terrorism.
We have a trade database. We have over 15 million trade transactions recorded in our trade database. It's all openly available. Anyone can go to it. And you'll see there have been a number of articles recently following the killing of Cecil the Lion that have looked at where the lion trophies and other trophies more generally are being exported to or imported into, and all of that data is available. And you'll see a lot of individuals have now been consulting that database to analyse which countries are actually the major source of exports and imports.
Let's turn to this kind of argument where people are saying that if you add value to an animal, you know, wild animal, it is conserved in a better way than when no value is added to it. So at the end of the day, if you don't add value to lions, they argue that maybe they may go extinct because people will be just killing them. What can you say about that argument?
I would say there's probably consensus around the argument that local people need to derive some benefit from the wildlife with which they live. The debate comes in as to how you derive that benefit. Is through consumptive or non-consumptive use? Everybody agrees we need to work with local people, effectively with local people. There need to be some benefits that are derived by local people.
That was John Scanlon, Secretary General of the Convention on International Trade in Endangered Species, speaking with Studio 7 from Geneva, Switzerland. trophy hunting is a multi-billion industry which generates millions of dollars for safari operators who sell some of their hunts like lions for as much as $50,000 for a single kill. Small animals like impala attract up to $500 in South Africa and Zimbabwe.
You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington.
We are broadcasting on 909 Metum Wave and on the 4930, 5940 and 15460 shortwave frequencies.
On the internet, find us at www.studio7news.com.
You can also text us at 001-202-465-0318.
Coming up,
the ZCTU says all is set for its Chinoye march against continuing job losses.
But first, a look at regional and international news.
United States Secretary of State John Kerry visited and reopened the U.S. Embassy in Cuba today to salute the American flag as it was raised again in Havana, ceremonially ending the 54-year breach in relations between the United States and its island neighbor off the southern coast of Florida. "This is truly a memorable occasion," Kerry said, "a day for pushing aside old barriers and exploring new possibilities." Noting that he is the first U.S. Secretary of State to visit Cuba since 1945, Kerry said he felt very much at home in the Havana Embassy. He addressed an audience of officials from both governments and a large crowd of onlookers on a sun-drenched day in the Cuban capital. The crowd stood as both countries' anthems were played during the ceremony. Kerry spoke from a courtyard beside the flag, facing the embassy with the Caribbean Sea behind him. He paid tribute to last year's decision by President Barack Obama and Cuba's President Raul Castro to restore their diplomatic ties severed at the height of the Cold War.
A senior U.S. diplomat is calling for China to improve its worsening human rights record to ensure Chinese President Xi Jinping's upcoming state visit to Washington is a success.
And talks to end South Sudan's conflict appeared in jeopardy today as President Salva Kiir cancelled a planned trip to the site of the talks in Ethiopia and the government recalled its negotiating team.
The South African Home Affairs Department today issued an advisory urging Zimbabweans who were granted permits under the Special Zimbabwe Dispensation to collect their papers before the 30th of September. The Home Affairs also advised those who might have missed their appointments for collection and those wanting to know the status of their applications to visit the nearest global center anytime from Monday through Saturday. Permits which are not collected by the 30th of September will be returned to the Department of Home Affairs, the advisory said. More than 200,000 Zimbabweans applied for permits, but the South African government has yet to say how many permits were granted. Reporter Ntungameli Nkomo reached Nqabuto Mabena of the Zimbabwe community in South Africa for more on this.
We welcome the announcement by the Department of Home Affairs in the sense that they've given us a timeline to say on the 30th of September all permits should be collected. But we'll recall that when people submitted the application, it was said that the application process will take only 8 weeks. It has taken over a month now, 8 to 9 months, without people receiving their permits. But nonetheless, we welcome that decision and to encourage those that have not yet received a phone call from the Department of Home Affairs or from VFS to approach the VFS offices where they made their application and collect those permits.
So what happens to those who would have failed to collect their permits by the 30th of September?
If they secure their offices by the 30th of September, it therefore means that anyone that would not have collected the permit will be deemed illegal in the country. So this is why we're making this call, that every Zimbabwean who made the application should collect their permits before the 30th. We'll also know that there are those that have been rejected since January for various reasons. When the Minister of Home Affairs made the announcement in August 2014 outlining the requirements for the permits, they didn't anticipate that there would be rejections, including those that would have applied in 2010 but did not receive their permits. But what is happening is that those people are now being rejected.
That was Mwabuto Mapena of the Zimbabwe community in South Africa on the line with reporter Ntungameli Nkomo.
Amid criticism from the gays and lesbians of Zimbabwe or girls, Health Minister Deputy Parenyatwa has maintained his stand that the rise of HIV prevalence in prisons is a clear indication that it is either the prisoners are infected already before they get into prison, and if not, then it means homosexuality is rampant in prisons. Parenyatwa said it was important for the government to address the prevalence of HIV and AIDS in prisons. Statistics reveal that HIV prevalence among Zimbabwean prisoners is at 28%. The gays and lesbians of Zimbabwe said although they welcomed Parenyatwa's attitude towards opening a debate on homosexuality, the group believe that the issue of HIV and AIDS in prisons had nothing to do with homosexuality. Parenyatwa said the government was going to engage with partners in the health sector and open up debate on homosexuality in prisons in order to save lives. Visiting Mandela
Fellow. The statistics are such that the HIV prevalence in the country is 14% in the general population, but in prisons it's 28%, which means it's double. And we are now saying there must be further research to establish whether, in fact, people come into prisons because they are from high-risk communities and are already infected, or they get infected from within the prison. That research has yet to be done. And that means prevalence rate in prisons is double that of the general population. This is true of many countries within the Africa region, that the prevalence of HIV in prisons is double.
Condoms are not readily available for prisoners. Did you not see that as a fit strategy to curb the rate of infection?
We still need to establish first whether people are catching it from within or from outside. If we start giving condoms, obviously it assumes that there is a lot of that men having sex with men in prison. So we need to establish scientifically why the prevalence is double in the prison.
How is it going to be easy for you to establish whether people are indeed engaging in homosexual activities inside the prisons?
The scientific route would be to test everybody who is put into prison as they are sentenced to go into prison. You can test them for HIV and then test them when they come out. Then you know.
That was Health Minister David Parenyatwa speaking with visiting Mandela Washington Fellow Tato Motsoane on attachment with Studio 7. Zimbabwe Congress of Trade Unions Acting Secretary General Gideon Shoko says demonstrations in Chinoy on Saturday are going ahead as planned after the police gave them the green light to do so. Shoko says the protests failed to take place last weekend after they coincided with Vice President Emmerson Mnangagwa's visit to the Mashonaland West provincial capital. The ZCTU had planned demonstrations against continuing job losses in Harare, Bulawayo, Gweru, Mutare, and Chinoy, but the Harare march was disrupted by the police who beat up some of the union's leaders. Shoko tells Studio 7 they have now penciled the Harare demonstrations for August 22.
Certainly, yes, they have finally agreed. As you know, last week there were demonstrations in all the other centers besides Harare and Chinoy. So this week, Chinoy has been allowed to proceed, and certainly they are going to demonstrate this week on Saturday. That is tomorrow.
Why were you denied permission to demonstrate last week as planned?
What we heard from the police, or what they wrote to our regional office there in Chinoy, is that they did not have manpower to deal with the demonstration because There was also going to be a meeting of the Vice President, Emmerson Mnangagwa. So instead, they wanted to concentrate on the meeting of the Vice President Mnangagwa. So that is what we were told by the police in Chinon.
And the police denied you permission to go ahead with demonstrations in Harare. Are you going to renew this fight to demonstrate? That was Zimbabwe Congress of Trade Unions Acting Secretary General Gideon Shoko in Harare.
Stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. when our host will lead discussions on housing demolitions.
To join the discussion, text us at 001-202-465-0318 so we can call you back from our studios.
In sports, the Zimbabwe rugby team, the Sables, left for Namibia this afternoon ahead of their 2015 Confederation of African Rugby Africa Cup final. Reporter Michael Cariati tells us what to expect.
The Sables have not had the best of preparations, with players coming from home for training, while others have withdrawn from the squad due to club commitments and injuries. Despite this, vice-captain Tshiafara Makwanya is confident that they will come out with a positive result over a team that has taken over from Zimbabwe as Africa's flag bearers in international rugby.
This weekend is definitely one game we need to be on top of a game to come out with a positive result.
Namibia lead the Africa Cup standings with 8 points, while Zimbabwe are second with 6 points, and the winner of this game will clinch the 2015 Africa Cup. Namibia are going to the World Cup in 6 weeks' time and have assembled their strongest team for the Zimbabwean game. However, a look at the preparations from the two teams shows that the Sables do not stand a chance. But in sport, anything is possible. That aside, Kasolaga Premier Soccer League action returns this weekend with two appetizing fixtures, both in Harare and Bulawayo. Sunday, Chizambwa returns to Rufaro Stadium with his ZPC Kariba to face Dynamos, the team that gave him fame both as a player and as a coach. Both teams are going through a bad patch, and Chizambwa, who has not won a league match since taking over from the departed Saul Chaminuka, is relishing a clash with the team he led to the Cup Champions League final in 1998. Chizambwa refused to predict the outcome of the game, but says he's happy that his team is taking the shape he requires.
I think we're working on our team very slowly, and it's coming up. The addition of the new acquisitions did an excellent job for the team, and I think we have to try and pick it up from there.
Ironically, Dynamo's coach Tony Raindiraya played under Chizambwa when the bearded mentor was in charge of Dimbare. Ndiraya has so much respect for Chizambwa, but promises a good show from his boys. The other exciting pairing is at Baba Field Stadium, where Highlanders and Aumain met for the second week running. Boso were beaten 4-3 on penalties last weekend in the Chibuku Super Cup, but the chairman of the Highlanders supporters Harare chapter, Modem Ngwenya, promises revenge.
Yes, it's a blue derby, but you realize that Highlanders is playing beautiful football, so Aumain is in trouble.
Table toppers Chicken Inn have the chance to extend their lead when they host inconsistent Chapungu at Luveve Stadium tomorrow. The other matches on the menu are as follows. Saturday, Flame Lily versus Capes United, Lafarge. Harare City versus Dongo Sawmills, Rufaro. FC Platinum versus Wange, Mandava. Cholocho Pirates versus Triangle, White City. Sunday, struggling Wawa meet Buffaloes at Ascot Stadium. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Michael Cariati.
Thank you, Michael. Now to recap today's top stories.
The Harare Magistrates Court are vandalized by criminals, while some grenades were found outside a local bank in the Central Business District today.
Zimbabweans express mixed feelings on President Robert Mugabe's legacy as SADC chair as his term comes to an end.
That's our broadcast this evening.
And now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Jonga Kandemiri in Washington.
And I'm Standegile Mhlanga, leaving you with Ntungameli Nkomo for Ndebele Show. Good night.